Welcome to The Southern Bruja, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to reviewing horror novels new and old, Latinx folklore, and a dash of all things Southern and weird. I'm your host, Melanie. On today's episode, I sit for a chat with poet, freelance writer, and New York Times best-selling author Ryan Douglas. Listen as we discuss his new novel, The Taking of Jake Livingston.
Thank you so much for being here today. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm a writer from Atlanta, Georgia. Currently reside here, but I'm thinking of moving to New York pretty soon because I think that's where my heart is. I have been a journalist previously. I've written for the Huffington Post, Atlanta Black Star, Everyday Feminism, other digital publications that cover like political issues and social justice, media representation, things like that. The Taking of Jake Livingston is my first book, but I also have a self-published poetry collection called Boy in Jeopardy that I published through Kindle before this. And yeah, I think that's the quick rundown.
What made you want to write a novel and what made you pick horror?
So I had written books like throughout my life, just as a way to express myself. I wasn't too social as a kid, so I was looking for an outlet where I felt that I could kind of be heard without having to be social. So writing was just something that I naturally gravitated toward. Storytelling, I loved the opportunity to transport readers to new worlds. I liked the experience of being transported to new worlds, and I wanted to kind of, I remember reading the Percy Jackson series and Harry Potter and, you know, all the series that the fantasy series that I grew up with and thinking, I want to be someone who makes people feel the way that this book is making me feel. Like, I want to put people in like a fantastical journey. And I think that's such a such an important thing, especially when you are looking for escapism or a way to kind of get away from the realities of life, whether they're like harsh realities or humdrum realities. So with horror, I gravitated toward horror because I had reached a point in my writing where I felt that the things that I was writing were really held back. So I'd been writing sci-fi and fantasy and a little bit of contemporary before choosing horror. And I felt that something was missing. I wasn't getting to the heart of things in the way that I wanted to thematically. And just in terms of the whole like style and the whole structure, I was like, why don't I try horror? And I really liked horror because it allowed me to go really heavy and really hard with the themes and not hold anything back. And that just ended up being so cathartic for me because I was able to work through some of the themes of trauma that I had in my head that I didn't really know how to bring into the sci-fi and the fantasy narratives. So I did it and I ended up loving it and I've just stuck with it since.
So when it comes to, you know, you're talking about kind of working through trauma, through using horror as kind of that vehicle to do that, was that kind of the inspiration? Can we talk a little bit about your, you know, where that came from?
I think this is just the way that I write books, my process. I have like all these things floating around in my head that I want to include. So I knew that I wanted ghosts because I had always loved ghost stories. Even I used to read middle grade ghost stories in middle school before I could even watch horror movies in like a real way. Then when I got into horror movies, I was just so mesmerized and I became a horror junkie. So I knew that I wanted to do ghost horror. And I knew that I wanted to write honestly about experiences that I identified with at PWIs and just like feeling isolated in those situations, you know, experiences of mental health. So it was really just like a combination of the things that I liked and the things that I grew up on with things that felt very personal to me. And it ended up being kind of like this horror coming of age experience, which I think was at the time, it felt really fresh for the market. So I'm really glad that it was able to sell when it did. It sold like a year after Get Out came out. So it was kind of on that like black horror wave. So yeah.
And it came out when it first started coming out, it had a different title. Is that correct?
It was originally called Jake in the Box. And I actually, this was the first book that I came up with the title before I even knew the full story. Usually I have a hard time with titles, but it just popped into my head and I was like, Jake in the Box kind of sounds like, it's like creepy because it sounds like the unraveling of a Jack in the Box, but it's about the unraveling of a boy's sanity. And that kind of opened up a Pandora's box of like possible themes and motifs about like childhood and loss of innocence. I was like, this is like the perfect title, but we ended up changing it because I think the publisher wanted something that was, that told the reader more what they were getting into right away. So when you see it, it's like very clearly a horror story. And that was just for marketing purposes.
Yeah. Something I really loved about your book, The Taking of Jake Livingston, is that it's a young adult book. I am clearly not a young adult. I am a nearly 40 Latina woman who just became enraptured by these characters. And Jake was just precious to me. He is just not something you see in horror or in young adult. You know, he's just this breath of fresh air. He felt very real. There was so much about him that I just enjoyed, the way that he talked about himself and the way he kind of comes into who he is. That's really the strength of his character. You know, he starts off a little bit shyer and then kind of really kind of just becomes this hero. And that evolution of his character is really just something that I think no matter, you know, young adult readers or, you know, old ladies like myself, you know, are reading these books, is really something appealing to wide audiences. You never really stop growing into who you are. If anything, you become more so that as you age. So how did you create Jake? I mean, he's just, it's a phenomenal character.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. So Jake was actually the first character that I really wanted to base on myself in like a really brazen kind of way. I think all the characters that I have written in the history of being a writer have had pieces of me. But Jake, because it's so personal, the story in general, I really wanted to bring the main character a lot of personal traits from myself, because I just felt like it was the way at that stage in my journey to get to the heart of what I wanted to say, just kind of looking within and looking at how I felt as a teenager, the things I was experiencing. And, you know, they say that you should write what you know as a writer. And that was kind of my way of trying to do that as well. So building his character was kind of about building who I was as a teen, but also giving myself a full arc as a teen that I didn't necessarily have. Because I think that some of the things that Jake comes to just in the span of the book are things that I did not come to until my 20s, especially pertaining to just being open and forgiving of the people around you who like sometimes feel like they're not in your corner, but are, and being vulnerable. So it definitely was rooted in my own experiences, but I wanted to give that more closure in the teen years.
And he's got one hell of a love story in there too. Can we just talk about Alistair? And we're kind of talking a little bit, maybe getting a little too much into the plot of the story, and I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, Jake is a Black queer lead, which is not something that is seen a lot, unfortunately. And I would love to one day have you back here and that not be something that we talk about, because it's so mainstream. It's just something that is part of the publishing world, but it's not yet. And picking that up and reading that and seeing kind of this wonderful character that we just don't see enough of is just really, really wonderful. And then to have him have kind of this exploration of his sexuality in the book and kind of just learning all these different facets of himself. That, like you said, in teenage years, most people don't get that arc. You know, we're still discovering who we are in our 20s and 30s and 40s. But he really does grow as a human being. And then you put him against this other character who is just evil. And how did that work, getting in your head? You know, you have this Jake, who to me is just this like little shining star. And you said you put a lot of yourself in him and he's just wonderful. And then you have almost his polar yin yang opposite in Sawyer. How hard is that to write and kind of create that?
It's really funny because a lot of people say, oh, they're so different. Like they're completely opposite. I actually don't necessarily experience the characters that way. I think that they are very different, but I think, I guess maybe the similarities, because I'm crafting it and I'm very careful and intentional about crafting it, I think the similarities are seated in a way that is rather subtle for the reader, but for me is very obvious because I'm doing it that way on purpose. So I think the aspect of Sawyer's violence and his anger towards the people around him, that was something that was a challenge for me. It was something that I had to push myself a little bit out of my comfort zone to do. And especially in YA, it feels like you don't want to give teens the wrong message, I guess, but you also don't want to talk down to them and pretend like they can't understand that just because you're reading about a sociopath doesn't mean you should go out and be one, you know? So I think keep like pushing the boundaries for what I felt comfortable like writing from a first person perspective, in addition to what I was putting into the teen market, that was a really difficult piece of writing Sawyer's character for sure.
Yeah, so kind of talking a little bit about the young adult market, this book, it covers a lot of heavy topics. It covers sexuality, school shootings, gun violence, abuse. There are very, very deep topics that you don't shy away from in your writing, in your news articles, in your book. You're very open about all of these situations, and I think you kind of just hit the nail on the head about what makes the taking of Jake Livingston so special, I think, is not only are the characters so livid and real, but you don't talk down to your reader. It appeals to someone who has lived almost a full life. And I think it would appeal to somebody who's just kind of coming into their own, because there is this sometimes this belief that, you know, a 14-year-old isn't going to understand the ways of the world, when in reality they're living that. That is their reality. They're going through these active shooter drills, you know, in middle school. There's these very scary parts of life that need to be confronted and talked about in a way that isn't shameful and allows them to kind of have an outlet. And I think your book is just phenomenal in that. And I'm talking way too much for your interview, but.
No, thank you. I totally agree. That's kind of my first priority in writing a YA book, to kind of acknowledge that teenagers are human. You know, they have discernment. They experience things and are exposed to things way sooner than they should be. But the fact that they are exposed to those things means that the literature that we give them should reflect those realities for sure.
And I think something else that you did exceptionally well, especially with Sawyer, is he does horrible things and you explain the motives behind those things, but you never paint him in a romantic light. And I know I feel like that can't be an easy thing to do. That is a hard line to make. And I'm just curious about your process when it comes to that, because I felt very emotionally connected to Jake. I just wanted the best for him. The minute he hit that page, I was team Jake. Everything was Jake, you know. And then Sawyer, I was like, I get where he's coming from, but you managed to keep that. Like, this is not a good person. Yes, he's gone through things, but how did you do that? Because when you see these kind of characters in popular culture, and I'm just going to throw out like an American Horror Story, there was a storyline where there was a school shooter and he was very romanticized. And, you know, you were seeing posts on Twitter about, oh, he's so beautiful and forgive him. And you very much straddle the, like, you know, both of these characters are going through things and it's the way that they react and handle their lives and who they are that really separates the two. How'd you do that?
So I think the key for me was just going through multiple revision processes for the book, because that balance was not struck in the first few versions. I would say the first one did give him a little bit too much sympathy. The second version, my editor said he was too angry. She was like, he's very angry. No one is going to be able to even read this. Sawyer's entries, like, because I felt guilt after the first version where I kind of did give him more redemption. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to go the opposite way. So I like scratched all that. And I had Sawyer just being this like angry, violent, no emotions kind of killer. And my editor was just like, this is too much. So I think it was just a matter of taking certain elements from the first version that felt you know, true to the experience of being a human being rather than something that is put there to like tell the reader, hey, this guy is not so bad if you just look behind the curtains. You know, I think there's a way to acknowledge that humans can carry great monstrosity within them, but they are still people. They still have feelings towards, you know, Sawyer has a very complicated relationship to his mother, to his sister, you know, they still experience the same things that all people experience and have the same human needs. But it was kind of like, what is it that makes this person somebody who would turn to violence? Where is that line where you kind of like are able to stop and say, I cannot cause harm? And how much of that is nature and how much of it is nurture, and how do those things interact? So once I started asking those questions, I was able to really form the plot line for Sawyer's narrative in a way that showed the reader pretty early on that, well, he is kind of a sadist. He does like to torture bugs. He does like when people around him feel pain. And then after like putting his craziness like right there in the foreground, I was able to like pull back layers and say, well, what's happening to him as well? Like what is happening around him and how does that interact? So it was a very complicated process for sure, but I'm really glad that I was able to strike the balance eventually through those many drafts.
Definitely. And then going back to Jake, because again, love Jake, he has this whole process where, you know, this Sawyer person is kind of just trying to break him down to kind of take over Jake and turn Jake into what he wants. And Jake has to go through a large amount of growth and emotional challenges. And he manages in a lot of ways to kind of keep that core, kind of how you were saying, the difference between nature and nurture and that decision that's made that every human has to make in the face of something awful, you know, what's going to be my choice here and what's my, you know, how am I going to react? How did you create that in Jake in such a way that it didn't come off as like cookie cutter? You know, it wasn't always guaranteed that Jake's going to be the good guy. I mean, he's great, but he's got to go through this whole process too. And he's getting attacked from everywhere. He's getting attacked from his school, his own, you know, not fully accepting himself in the beginning. And then he has this entity coming towards him. How did you explore all of that and able to kind of put that into this character and have him grow up in these pages?
I remember when I was working on this book, I went to a panel. It was a We Need Diverse Books panel. I don't remember everyone who was on it per se, but there was a few authors on it that I had known. And I was just trying to figure out how to put a character who was a Black queer boy who already, you know, people who are picking this book up, they might have stigmas. They might have things that they think about this demographic of people. I was trying to figure out how to write this character in a way that didn't give in to any harmful stereotypes and kind of like humanize them, but also didn't make them feel overly noble in a way like that they couldn't make mistakes. And I got from that panel that it's okay to write a character of color, to write a queer character who is not always all put together and is a human being. So I think allowing Jake, I don't want to spoil anything, but allowing Jake to have realistic flaws and do things that not only would surprise the reader, but maybe surprised him and feel like not completely in control, I think that allowed the character to feel, you know, vulnerable and susceptible to doing the wrong thing. But taking him to that dark place also provided this point of relatability between Jake and the reader that I hope that a reader who feels, you know, like they did something wrong, that they did something bad, like they did not recognize themselves, will feel, because they're seeing Jake do that thing and come out of that, that there is a way to redemption. There is a way to, you know, finding yourself again, starting over, having a second chance. And I really do believe in that in real life. So I think part of it was just me putting my own philosophy into the text.
There was a section in the book where Jake's reading and he's talking about, you know, the books that he's reading. And he mentions a few more diverse authors. He says, you know, I want to read more Stephen Graham Jones. I want to read Tanner of Dew. Are these writers that have kind of influenced you in your writing?
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, he mentions Octavia Butler, Tanner of Dew, and Stephen Graham Jones. I love all those authors. I think they do really interesting, cool stuff with their work. I'm currently trying to get through all of Octavia Butler's books because I think that they were just so ahead of their time, and thematically, they're so great. And I also love the writing because it's not pretentious. It's really accessible, but it's also very highbrow. So definitely, I just wanted to kind of give shout outs to, you know, pioneers in the horror genre who are writing characters of color and doing it well.
I'm about 20 pages left of Fledgling, and that one has pretty much blown mm-hmm. my mind and pushed so many boundaries that I was just like, while I was reading it.
Really a win for vampire culture.
Yes, vampire culture. It's great. It was definitely, when I first started reading it, I was like, is she really, yikes, yikes, okay, we're going there. This is happening. All right. Yeah. I love that. I love those kind of books, and you know, The Taking of Jake Livingston definitely does that too, where it takes you to places that maybe aren't super comfortable and makes you have a conversation with yourself and kind of your own belief system. And but like you said, it's just, it was such a great journey to take with these characters, even when you hated them, even when you just were like, why are you still here? You understood what was happening and the whys behind it. And I just really applaud you for writing something so emotionally, it just hits right. It's just really, really well done and just great characters. And I hope we get to see more of them in the future. You know, do you think there would ever be more stories in kind of this universe that you've created?
It's definitely a possibility. And it's mainly a possibility because I keep hearing that. And because when I talked to my agent about my next projects, he was like, well, you know, The Taking of Jake Livingston 2 would be a great way to get another deal. If you ever want to, you know, we can make him go somewhere else. So it's been like in the back of my mind. This was definitely a standalone, like I conceived of it as a standalone. But, you know, I know that there are things that are kind of left open and kind of left ambiguous. And if I were to write a sequel, it would probably be down the road. It would be one of those like Incredibles things where the first one is in like 2004 and the next one is in like 2020 or something. Just because like going back to that world and going back to that place, it's going to require a lot, especially since I spent like 4 years really working on it. And I'm coming out of that and I'm kind of like, okay, I want to do more fun things now. Maybe if there's still horror, just not as like right at the center of trauma per se. So yeah, I think that I will, but it'll probably be down the road.
So like speaking of other things, other projects, I mean, do you see yourself writing in a different genre at some point? I mean, I think you wrote love story beautifully. I would read 1,000 love stories if you wrote them the way that you wrote the one in this book.
Thank you. So I was working on a romantic comedy, but I think that that's a little bit too far away from my sensibilities. So I'm currently working on another horror where a relationship is kind of the center of the story. So there's going to be a lot of relationship drama in my next book. That's probably going to be the next one to come out. But it's still going to have like the horror vibes that Jake brought, just with more, because the relationship in The Taking of Jake, it's very much a breath of fresh air in a narrative that like everything around it is really dark. And I think that for the second book, I want to explore the darker sides of a relationship, the more complicated sides of a relationship throughout the book. And it's going to be a little bit more mature than the relationship in Jake, but I'm really excited to, you know, try more romance and do that in a more realistic way rather than a fairy tale kind of way.
Would it still be, you think, in the young adult kind of genre, or are you looking at kind of moving away from that? Or
I'm definitely going to move away from YA as I grow as a writer. I think right now I'm still interested in younger characters coming of age, just exploring certain things that I saw growing up with regard to just like the way that we raise kids and socialize kids. I think there are a lot of things that are interesting to me, especially pertaining to religion and religious conditioning. And there's a little bit of that in Jake, but it doesn't really go too deep. I wanted to go deeper into that for my next project. And it's gonna be a little bit older. It's gonna be a little bit sexier than Jake, like still not technically an adult book, but kind of like probably in between, like definitely upper YA. The characters are like 18. So you're like getting towards adulthood. So a little bit up, older, but still, you know, readable for YA.
Yeah. And again, like you've said previously, you know, young adults are smarter than people give credit for. And I think that shows in your writing. And I wish there was more. I mean, because this is one of my favorite genres, even as adult. There's so much that I wish that is being written now that was around when I was at this age and trying to figure myself out and figure out who I am and my identity. And it's so beautiful to see that kind of taking the forefront now. And I have a child, and I just would love for, you know, when they come of age that, you know, they have people they can look up to and read about that resemble themselves. And it's just, I love it. I love everything that, you know, you have represented in this book. I love the way you wrote pain. I love the way you wrote redemption. The little bit of sweetness in the storytelling and that kind of happiness that, you know, sometimes doesn't have a place in the horror world. You know, you included that little bit of, oh, and that it was just all around. It's just such a well-rounded story that when it was over, I genuinely was like, that's it. Like, I could go back there. Yes, it's just, I think it's great. And I'm excited for your future projects. Do we know when things will be coming out, or can you talk about that at all?
So it's just like really hard to determine with publishing. Jake Livingston was supposed to come out in the spring of 2020, and it just came out in July 2021. So it's dependent on, you know, what my editor needs in terms of time, what I need in terms of time. I will probably have another book out. The soonest would be 2023, unfortunately, because publishing is very slow and lots of things get in the way. So 2023, 2024 is when I'm expecting my sophomore release. But I'm glad that I'm going to have some time to work on it and think about the things that I've learned as a writer in the past few years, like since I started developing Jake. So yeah, excited for that journey.
Well, is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with today before we sign off?
Thanks for listening. I really appreciate, you know, the time, and I hope that the book leaves everyone with something spooky, but also healing, because not a lot of horror books don't really give you any fresh air or any, you know, comfort. So I think that Jake is good for people who want to be scared, but also kind of want to deal with issues that they might see in the world or that they might see internally. So yeah, I hope everyone likes it, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Ryan. You are just awesome. I am rooting for your success so hard, and I'm just honored to have had a chance to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate the invite. Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Ryan, for speaking with me today. The Taking of Jake Livingston is available in audio and print versions on Amazon, Audible, as well as anywhere books are sold. If you enjoy this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram @_southern_bruja. Thanks for listening.